Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
I want to share about a subject that I've called commitment, total commitment. Total commitment, especially this is a message that is not only for the men, because today is a men's Sunday, but it also is for every one of us. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God wants men who are committed. And Engineer Ronnie, we are not few. No, we are not few. God's arithmetic is something else.
Amen.
Yeah?
Amen.
Praise God for these men who stood with you today. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank you for leading us quite well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are awesome.
Yes.
We are powerful.
Amen.
That person sat in your chair is awesome. Amen. Hallelujah. That person sat in your chair is powerful. You can chase a whole troop.
Amen.
That one person.
Amen.
One person sat in you. Jesus, God is sick. He said, I'm looking for one man.
One.
One amongst them who will stand in the gap and turn things around. One person. It takes one person. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
God wants to do exploits at such a time as this. But God, you know that God cannot work on earth without a human being. That's why he needs you. And as long as you're still breathing, that tells me that there's still a purpose for you to do. God still needs you. The moment he's finished with you, he just turns off the switch and you're finished. You're gone. Because he doesn't need your body anymore. He needs this body today because he wants his voice to come to you today. Amen. Through the ages, whenever God wanted to do a significant job, or whenever he wants to do a significant job, he will always do it through a crew of committed people. A crew or a band or a team of committed people. And what kind of people are these? Number one, these are people who know him. God uses people who know him. Hallelujah. The question is, do you know him? That is the prayer he prayed Jesus Christ as he was about to leave. John 17, 1, 2. Now, this is what he spoke. Jesus Christ is praying after his ministry. If you read the book of John, the Gospel according to John, from chapter 13 up until this point, Jesus Christ has been trying to convince his disciples that he must go back to his Father. They were confused. It was a terrifying moment. It was a traumatic moment for them. Because for them, they had believed that he had come to restore, you know, to take over Rome, take over the rulership of Rome and establish his kingdom on earth. And here he's telling them he must go back home to the Father. And they're thinking, what are you talking about? So this, after he thought he had convinced them, this is what he prays. So Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. Uh-huh. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. How many of us have eternal life in this place? You have eternal life. You believe you have eternal life. Oh, come on. You need to. Then I need to make an altar call. How many of you believe you have eternal life? As long as you have the Son in you, you have eternal life. You get that?
Yes.
But the key here is that you have been given to him. You are chosen. You are chosen. Not everybody is in charge. Not everybody worships. You have been chosen. You have been given to him. Verse 3. And this is eternal life. You want to know eternal life? How many want to know eternal life? Eternal life is spelled out in verse 3. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God. What does that tell you? It means that there are other gods. There are only fake gods. But this one is the only true God, that we may know him and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So God will not use people who do not know him. He will use people who know him as the only true God and who know his son, Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Reading from Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that, but the people that know their God, what shall happen to them? They shall be strong and they shall do exploits. You cannot be strong and you cannot do exploits until you know God. Hallelujah. Now, there's knowing about God, because I know about Trump. I know about Theresa May. I know about them, but I don't know them personally. I cannot say that I know them. Hallelujah. So you have to have a personal relationship with God for him to use you. Hallelujah. Number two, he uses those who are committed, those who are dedicated, those who are devout, those who are faithful, those who are staunch, those who are enthusiastic, those who are consumed by zeal for his kingdom, those who are on fire for him. Those are the ones that he will use. Why? Because he hates lukewarmness. With God, you are either hot or cold. Revelations chapter 3, verse 14 to 16, as he's speaking to the church of Laodicea. God hates people who are lukewarm. He hates the indifferent. He hates the cavalier. He hates the unresponsive. What does he say? Verse 14, Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Just be one of them. But don't be, you know. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. May the Lord never vomit you out of his mouth. You know why? Because you are not going to be lukewarm anymore. You are going to be hot for the Lord. The zeal of the Lord is going to consume you. It's going to consume you. It's going to consume you. Enough is enough of serving God half-heartedly. Guys, gentlemen in this church, can we arise? Did you hear the voice? Did you hear yourselves, guys? Enough is enough of this church being overtaken by the women. Thank God for women. Thank God for women. But we must arise and take our place as men, as fathers, as brothers. Can I hear the men say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Yes, you can, and yes, you will. Hallelujah. Let us arise. Thank God for today. That must not end today. You are going to be put in the calendar for praising God every month. Every month. Every month. We are going to apply ourselves. We're not going to be lukewarm men. We're men who, just look at the clock. I think now they must be, they are still interceding. I will appear when the praise and worship is finished. No. We come here. The men wake up their children early. Wake up the wife early. If you know that the wife takes 10 hours in the mirror, wake her up in time. Reverse. Wake her at 4. Now, if these ladies come to me complaining, I abstain to the men myself.
Amen.
It's not the other way around. Honey, can we go to church? but can you go alone with the children? No. You are first here.
Amen.
I long to see a day when men are here at 9 praying.
Amen.
Praying. Men. And if you are a woman here and it's you who's holding the man, today I am on your case. Amen. Release the guy.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants people. Now, this applies to all of us. All of us, men and women. God wants people who are committed, who will give him. He wants 100%ers. You not give God 50%. No, 100%. When he calls you, you are there, there, and then. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants people who operate from a sense of duty, not convenience. We do not serve God out of convenience, my friends. No, we serve him wholeheartedly.
Amen.
These are markers of committed people. Number one, they are sacrificial. Sacrifice. You've got to sacrifice your time. Your time. Somebody say time. You think you have time? You do not have time. There's a person who holds time, who has given, who has lent you today, and he's called God. Give him, sacrifice some time for him during the week. During this week, what have you done for God? What have you done for him? And today you are coming to ask from him, and you're saying, come on, what have you done for me? Why are you even breathing? Why should I give you 10 years to live, Reuben? You are asking for further year, for more years. Lord, give me long life for what? Give me two good reasons why you should live for 10 years. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They are sacrificial and they are selfless. Committed people are selfless. They do not think about themselves. The world does not revolve around themselves. Me, my wife, and my kids. Let me tell you, when the Lord decides to snatch the things that you think are yours from you, and he takes them because they belong to him, including you, that's when you will know to have to serve God, to be committed to this God who has given you life. So they are sacrificial, they are selfless, and they are servants. Servants, somebody say servants. Jesus Christ himself said, the Son of Man did not come to be what? Served. But he came to serve. The one who wants to be the greatest among you must be a what? A servant of how many? All. You serve the tall, you serve the thin. Yes, even now, like those people who are talking about us, we serve them. We serve them. Pastors. Pastors are the most people that are talked about. You think I don't know you talk about me? Look at them. You think I don't know? I know. I know that you don't. Why did he put on that shirt? Why is he putting on a jeans? Why is he preaching that message? Yeah, I know. But you know what? I love you anyway. I love you. I will love you. And you listen, I forgave you many times. I forgave you in advance. Could I get it in advance? Did you hear that? I am your servant. I am your servant. I am here to serve you. I'm not here for you to serve me. I am here to. And I am committed to you. In January until December, I am committed to you. Amen.
Amen.
I will love you by fire, by force.
Amen.
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 Listen, there is a difference between interest and commitment. I'm not only interested in you, I'm also committed to you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was not only interested in us, he was committed to us. He was committed, and he expects you and I to be committed to him. It has got to be reciprocal. Reciprocal. You've got to give back. Love him back. There is a difference between interest and commitment. When you are interested in doing something, you do it only when circumstances permit. Are we together? When you are committed to something, you accept no excuses. Let me repeat. When you are interested in something, you do it only when circumstances permit. Again, I will use an example of one of my favorite presidents these days. There was this commemoration of World War, war veterans. And one leader, instead of going to commemorate these guys, he decided to stay back because it was raining. And because if he went out in the rain, it would mess up his hair. That was, he was interested but not committed. If he was committed, he would get out even in the rain. Hallelujah. Amen. Am I saying something here?
Yes.
When you are committed, there's no excuse. You want only results. No excuse. Many Christians are only involved but not committed. But this morning, we want to be, to graduate, this afternoon, we want to graduate from just being involved to being committed. Hallelujah. The Christians who are involved and not committed are like the kamikaze Japanese. The kamikaze Japanese, there's one kamikaze Japanese who went out to on bombing trips for 35 times and returned. A kamikaze Japanese was a suicide bomber. You do not go on a suicide mission and come back. You cannot. During the World War II, 1944, the Japanese discovered a way of killing each other, of killing people. And they were willing to ram their aeroplanes into targets, to ships. A pilot would go into an aeroplane and enter into a ship, and ram it into a ship, an American ship or whatever, until he causes maximum damage. Guess what? He would not return. For a kamikaze pilot, the bomb and the bomber were one and the same thing. He was a moving bomb. The moment he entered the aeroplane, it was finished. So this guy, this other kamikaze you're talking about, he would go for 35 missions and he was coming back. How did he manage to come back? You cannot come back because you are committed. The people who were committed died. They were ready to die for their emperor. Because they were told when they die, they become gods. They were willing to embrace death. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "If a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he is not fit to live." Have you discovered anything you are willing to die for? If you have not yet discovered it, my friend, you are not fit to live. Something to which you are committed. Something which you will die for. You say, whether it rains or shines, I will go for it. If you have not yet discovered it, you need to find it before it's too late. A pig and the chicken. A pig said to a chicken, "What shall we have for breakfast?" The chicken suggested, "Let's have ham and eggs." The pig said, "Oh, no, 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 not ham." The chicken replied, "Why not? I will furnish the eggs and you the ham." The pig said, "For you, it's just involvement. But for me, it's committed. It's commitment. For me, it's commitment. For you to get ham, I will be dead. I will be dead. I will be what?" Yeah. So which one are you? Are you the pig? Or the chicken? Because the chicken knows that it will to just give a little, and go back a little. But commitment is about, my friend, being totally involved, dying. Paul said, "It's no longer I who does what lives, but Christ in me." Christianity, my friend, that's why I don't smoke anymore. That's why I don't drink anymore. I could go in a pub and order for Jack Daniels. It's a whiskey. It's a sort of alcohol. I said, "Guys, can I have some Jack Daniels right now?" But why don't I do it? It's because I am committed.
Amen.
To Christ.
Amen.
You missed a good place where to applaud. I am committed to the cause. I am committed to Christ and his cause. Did you hear that? So we have got these Christians who are lukewarm. Anything that they put before them. And they said, I went to a wedding, a Christian wedding recently, and guys were just downing, you know, alcohol. And I'm thinking, what is happening? This is it's supposed to be a Christian wedding. These guys were just, I thought, what? So which one are you? If we open right now your fridge, what will you find in your fridge? David, King David had men who were like this, men who were committed. When you go to 2 Samuel chapter 23, David was a successful warrior. He was a successful king, but he did not succeed on his own. He needed men that were committed, men that were committed to the king and to the kingdom. That's what God is looking for, men and women that are committed to him as the king and his kingdom. You cannot only be committed to the king and not be committed to his kingdom. You hear that? Say, I love Christ, I love God, I love God, and you're not even anywhere in his kingdom. You're doing nothing in his kingdom? How are you doing that? How are you succeeding in doing that? I wonder. There is something you can do for God. There is something. I do not sing, Pastor. You don't. It's not about singing. There are other things that you can do behind the scenes for God. You can say once a week, register me down for ushering. Once a week, once a month, register me down for cleaning the church. There are many things you can do for God. Do something. Somebody said, do something. Now, these were the last words. No, let's go to verse 8. Verse 8, because of time. These are the names of the mighty men of David. David had mighty men. They're numbered 30. But then the Bible begins to tell us about the three of them. Three. There's something about three. These ones were ninjas. These ones were
men of war.
Today, I'm trying to get some contemporary, you know, juxtaposition examples. They were Team Seal 6. They were SAS men. They were dangerous men. Look, what does he say? Chief among them was this man called Josheb Batbeth. He was called Adino, the Ezenite. He had a nickname. They gave him a nickname. Why? Because he killed 800 men at one time. And I'm not talking about using machine guns, my friend. I'm talking about using rudimentary weapons, a spear and bow. He killed 800 of them in one go. Sword, spear. Just picture this man, and they had to give him a name, Adino, the Ezenite. Dangerous man. Another one. And after him, they are ordered in precedence, in order. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo. Just listen to that name, Eliezer, son of Dodo. My God. And what did Eliezer do? Eliezer, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when he defied the Philistines who gathered before the battle, and the men of Israel had, you know, there are some men who were running away. The men had retreated. But for him, he said, I'm going in there. When others are running away, never run with them.
Amen.
You remember 9-11, those of you who saw that. 9-11, the trouble was happening. People were running away, but there was a group of people who were running into trouble. Who are those guys? Firemen. They are running towards the trouble where others are retreating. This man, son of Dodo, when others were running away, for him he was running into the trouble. And listen to what this man, I just love this man. This is one of my favorite men in the Bible. Listen what he did. Last 10. This is going to interest you. He arose. Somebody says he arose. And attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand stuck to the sword. You could not separate the hand from the sword. What was... I love this man. He fought. He killed many. The blood dripped until it clotted. And his hand, you could not separate his hand from the sword. What kind of man is this? Are you seeing that? Yeah. What is happening to Eliezer, son of Dodo? So there's a commentator whom I want to quote here. He says, he described this as a cramp. He fought until he got cramp. And this cramp, he says, the muscles of a warrior's hand could only be relaxed after hard fighting, only by fermentations of hot water. You had to pour hot water onto this guy in order for the sword to let go of his hand. The sword was not the other way around. The sword to let go of his hand. Eliezer, son of Dodo. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. People returned after son of Dodo to plunder. After he had killed everybody. The ones who retreated. You know, there are people who come when things are ready. They don't want to be in the kitchen, but they want to be blessed. I do not want to be such a man. No. Those are not men. Those are not men. In my culture, they don't call them men. Men who retreat when there's trouble and they want to come and share in the spoils. Are we together? Are you that kind of person? People are praying. When they call prayer, you know prayer. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Today we are not using those swords. But the sword we use is the word of God. The word of God must stick to you. Must be stuck to you in your heart. That when you are in the presence of God, you are just killing every Philistine in the name of Jesus. When we call prayer, there are some men and women who retreat. They take off. Because it's a battle. And when it's time for blessings, they want to come and partake of the share. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus. That shall not be you. You shall be a fighter. You shall be a committed man and a committed woman. Verse 11. And after him was Shammah. Listen, that name, Shammah. The son of Agi, the Hararite. Now, this one was very interesting because the Philistines knew how to come to attack the children of Israel when it was harvest time. You remember what happened in the times of, was it Samson? Gideon. They would come. There would be the time when, you know, the enemy times when your salary is about to hit your account. When you are about to reap, then he comes. And you have worked like a donkey. You don't even have a tail anymore. And you cannot even see where the money has gone. The Philistine. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, we destroy those forces that come when we are about to receive money. We render them powerless in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. We shall stand our ground and defeat them in the name of Jesus. So they came because they knew it was time of harvest. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. It was harvest time. So they said, now we are coming in. So the people fled from the Philistines. The people who were in those fields, they fled because the Philistines were strong in that time. But there was a guy who was called Shammah. What did Shammah do? Give me verse 11, verse 12. But he stationed himself. I love this man. You've got to find a place where you station yourself. He stationed himself, not on the side, not on the other. He's in the middle of the field. In the heat of the battle, that is where you go. In the eye of the storm, that is where you stand, my friend. He stood where? In the middle and defended it. What was he doing? He was slashing every Philistine. He killed the Philistines. He killed the Philistines so that the Lord God brought a lot of victory upon these guys. What are the characteristics of these guys? Number one, they were committed to God. They were committed to the cause of God. Now it goes even further. Let's read further. It gets even more interesting. Now, these three men, the 30 of the chief men, went down at harvest time and came to David. at the camp of Adullam, at the cave of Adullam, rather. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Raphaim. David was in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is in Israel. That's where they live. That's where he lived. That's where he grew up. But he's now in the hand of the what? Of the enemy. What does he say? And David said, longingly, oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David is longing for water, which is in the enemy camp, my friend. He is longing for a past. He's longing for peace. He's longing to return home. And he says, oh my God, he just said it in passing. It was not a command. Just like I say, you know what? Like I said, I want us to soundproof this wall. And by the way, I want us to do it. I wish we could soundproof this room. I told you a story one time when we were in this building with Nicholas Mugumi. We were doing the walls before we had the ceiling. And I said, I wish you could just put a ceiling up here. And there's somebody who just had it. And I said, Pastor, what does it take? I said, you know, and I did not even have the measurements. I didn't have even the, so I said, oh my God, you know, God can, at times, ask God, I want money. He said, how much? I said, oh my, you know, God. So I told this person, you know what, give me a minute. So I asked Nicholas, come on, somebody ask me, can you help me and make a calculation of this, what we need here? Speedy as he is, in a few minutes we had it. This person calls again. I said, this is what we need. I said, Pastor, can you give me where you have been looking for a website, whatever? I sent this person whatever the website was. In 5 minutes' time, she called back and said, Pastor, it is done. I said, what do you mean it's done? What do you mean it's done? She said, the delivery is on its way, so it will be on Friday. What are you talking about? She said, the whole ceiling, one individual. Wow. One individual. One individual. Right now we are sat and we sit under a ceiling because of one individual. And you know what? You can do the same. There are things you have done here. You guys have given to an instrument. You can do this, Nicholas. I've been talking about the measurements for this thing. If by next Sunday I am talking about the measurements and we don't have them, my friend. Mrs. Mugumia, if you find your husband hurt, you know it's me who has hurt him. I'm just joking. Because we need to know how much we need here. Now we have got neighbors on the other side who have just come in. We don't know how they are. Some of them are already making some noise. So we need to be circumspect. We need to soundproof the whole of this wall. It's going to cost some money. But you and I have the money. That's why I'm saying, I'm asking Mr. Mugumia to calculate. So by next Sunday, we'll have what we need. Work together with Engineer Ronnie. Yeah? Today, before you go, let's have those measurements, guys, please, and begin to source the materials that we need. Yeah, let's be committed. Be committed indeed. Amen. So these guys, the three men, the Bible says, what does it say? Let's continue as we finish. You gave me 5 minutes, didn't you? Yeah. So the three mighty men broke through the camp. They broke through the camp. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
These three men risked their lives. Committed people risk their lives. They went into the camp of the enemy. They were commandos. They went. It was a stealth operation. If the Philistines had seen them, there was going to be chaos. But they risked their lives and went into the camp of the Philistines. They went into the enemy's camp. Some of us are only used to defensive war. These guys went on the offensive. Committed men go on the offensive. They drew the water from the well of Bethlehem. And they brought it. And they brought it to David. When David saw these guys, he did not expect anybody to risk their lives to go and do that. When he saw it, he said, what? Nevertheless, I cannot drink this water. Because this is people's blood. If I drink it, I will be drinking blood. What did he do? He poured it out to the Lord. He did not even drink it. But these men risked their lives. Commitment to David and commitment to the kingdom. Commitment to Christ and commitment to his kingdom. Conclusion. The church, my friend, needs mighty men and women who are attracted to the person of Jesus Christ and to the cause of Jesus Christ. Men like David's men who risked their lives, who committed themselves and committed and went into, put themselves into harm's way. Missionaries to Africa. A man called David Livingstone. How many of you have heard about him? Those of you who did your history and still remember. He was a pioneer missionary in Africa. So some of his friends wrote to him once and said, we would like to send you men. We would like to send men to you. And then they asked, have you found a good road into your area yet before we send men? Livingstone wrote back to them, if you have men who will only come if they know there is a good road, I don't want them. I want men who will come if there's no road at all. Some of us wait for the right circumstances, the right conditions so that we can commit. No, God is not looking for people who are looking for the right circumstances. The Bible says if you are looking for the right circumstances, you will never sow. The one who sows does not look at the wind, does not look at the season. You sow even, we have got men in the Bible like Isaac who sowed in the dry season. He wanted committed men, Livingstone. Men and women who would risk everything. Let me tell you, we enjoy the mission, we enjoy church, we enjoy the Bible in Africa, but you know, Africa was once called the graveyard of the white man. The graveyard of the white man because of the conditions. In fact, some missionaries who started going into Africa with their belongings in coffins, they would pack their belongings in coffins because they would know they are not going to survive. And they would go to Africa. So they would pack their own coffin. I'm going, but I don't know whether I'll come back. And that is commitment. That is why we enjoy the message of the Bible. Hallelujah. How comfortable are you? As I finish, if you are this kind of Christian who is, you know, comfortable and cannot dedicate his life because the circumstances are not right, then you are still in elementary school. I don't know whether you and I will ever face the possibility of putting our lives at risk for the cause of Christ. But what I know is this. If you have a convenience Christianity, you know, the one that attends church when it's convenient, the one that supports the cause of Christ financially when it's convenient, the one that is willing to serve when it's convenient, the one that won't put their lives at risk for Christ, only serving when it's convenient, then there's a problem. We need, as men and women of God, to be totally committed, to be like that pig. If the pig is to give, it has got to die. Unless a grain falls into the ground, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and does what? And dies. Did you know that once you plant a seed into the ground, before it germinates, it has got first to die? Amen. It dies and then it gives. It abides and it gives more fruit. So we've just been talking about fruitfulness. You and I will never be the men or women of God and the women that God wants us to be if we are not willing to die, if you're not willing to be committed. Total commitment, my friend. Not half commitment, not 50%, 100% in everything that you do for God. That's why the Bible says everything that you find, do it with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Every head bowed. Looking at the examples that we have heard in the Bible, those men like Adino, men like Eliezer, son of Dodo, men like Shammah, who risked all they had. We didn't even read the rest of the guys. You can go back and read about the exploits of other men in that chapter, and you'll be shocked at the level of commitment these men had. Have you ever seen these guys who act as, who work, not act, they work as secret service. These guys who guard the presidents and all those dignitaries. These guys are paid to die for other people. Who does that? Who does that? I don't care how much money you pay me. I'm not going to die for you. But these guys, I just marvel. And that's what God wants us to do, guys. Are we ready to die for the gospel? Are we ready to be committed for his work, for his kingdom, with your money, with your time, with your body, with your physicality, with your energy? Can we do that? Can we do that? Can we give him, can we be totally committed for God? Father, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Thank you, Father, for your goodness.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.